Welcome to the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. To stay connected, go to revivaltoday.com. And now, here is Evangelist Jonathan.
Yesterday was a record-setting day at our church, and I want to show you, and I want all the staff and volunteers, everyone who is full-time staff or volunteers at this church, I want you to stand to your feet so that we can give you a hand clap. I don't think we've done this in the two-year history of the church, but the hard work that's done. Take a look around and see what your efforts have done. Yesterday, everybody say a local church with a national vision. We launched our second campus, as you know, in Fort Worth, Texas. So yesterday, we had the ability to do something that's unbelievable. We had two concurrent evangelistic meetings, and between Texas and Pittsburgh, we had 301 people come forward to receive Jesus Christ for the first time in Texas, and 407, something like that. Just under 1,000 first-time decisions for Christ in two different states at the same time. My dad preached down in Texas, and we were here, and that was awesome. So we're going to play the highlights of what happened in Pittsburgh. Between Pittsburgh and Texas, we had just under a couple hundred shy of 5,000 in attendance. So 799 here, and then 4,000 in Texas, I think was the breakdown. Take a look at what the Lord did. He laid down his life for me, and he laid down his life for you, so that instead of being under the bondage of sin, you can be free today in Jesus' name. I pray that today will not only deliver you today, but starts a chain of events in your family that makes the devil sorry he didn't kill you when he had the chance. That you come out of here a terror to the devil, because now you're on the loose telling people that they don't have to battle what they're battling. I've had enough. It's time for the people of America to realize what Jesus did for them and say, enough is enough. I'm not playing this game. I'm going to call on the name of the Lord, and I'm going to be saved. If that sounds like you, let that God in heaven hear your hand clap today. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph.
I know. Wow, 799. 401, and then it was 307 in Texas. Look at that. This church is just over 2 years old. And so we had, that is awesome. And look at today. Give the Lord another great hand clap. I'm just blown away by everything that was done. Do you have any pictures from Texas? I know they still don't have the recap video. Do you have So Texas, we put a tent up, and the tent was completely packed. There's my dad. He's 65 years old, preaching under that hot Texas tent. And it was packed. My dad said the official attendance there was 3,000 something. That church is 6 months old, started in October. And my dad, who's very conservative, as you can tell from the navy blue suit, he said, in his opinion, there was probably about 8,000 people on the field. So there was about 3,000 in the tent and about another 5,000 lurking around the tent, coming to hear and listen to the gospel. And when he gave the invitation, look at it, packed to the sides. So, you know, you can say things from the pulpit. Look at that. We're a local church with a national mission. But to be able to do that now with the airplane and technology. And then, as you know, I was preaching in Georgia all week. I left Georgia at midnight and got in at what? I probably got to my house at 3 a.m. So just to show up at the 10 o'clock outreach and everything's running. You'd think this church existed since the Pittsburgh Steelers were founded. It is the greeters, parking attendants, everybody. I'm not saying this to be nice. I've never said anything to be nice. I'm telling you how much I appreciate you as your pastor. Then I'll tell you, yesterday preaching, when we did the Easter outreach last year, you know, people were standoffish a little bit. They didn't know what they were getting into. What is this? What are these people doing? So I went to shake hands with people yesterday, thinking I was going to have to introduce myself, and I was getting hugged left and right. We were at Steel City Fest. Thanks for the outreaches that you do in the apartment complex. You have to figure in the last 2 years between the stadium meeting and here, we've probably had conservatively 12,000 to 15,000 unique individuals in Pittsburgh pass through, which isn't a ton, but it's a start. It's enough that people know what goes on here. And you're starting to have people sent here by friends. I'm going to play a video in a few minutes of a lady that came to the Good Friday service that Adalys prayed for. And she got out of the wheelchair and began walking. Adalys said she got up and started walking so easy, I just assumed that she was in a wheelchair because she was older and it hurt to walk. But then on Instagram, someone posted it and tagged her, and it was the lady that brought her. They heard about what was going on, watching on television and everything, and brought her down for prayer. And that was the first time she had walked, she wrote, in many, many years. And was writing, I haven't seen my mom walk in this long. That's the fifth person in 2 years that was wheelchair bound that got out of a wheelchair. And we're just getting started. So you look at this. I'm going to tell you, the devil is going to have a hard time in the city of Pittsburgh. This is going to be a place where people come from all over the world to experience the presence of God. And no matter how dark things get in the world, you're always going to have a place to come here and enjoy the presence of God and be refreshed with your family. Can you say amen? All right, I'm going to play one more video before I get into the Bible. We started feeding 40 children a day. And Adalys and I went to northern Uganda to the actual refugee resettlement camp where they do the feeding. This is not like when you operate a food pantry in the United States and there's people getting in fights because they want a different kind of bread than the kind of bread you're giving. These are children who, most of them, it's the only meal they eat. So they give them this nutrient-rich rice that's ground up, that's very high caloric, almost like an MRE if you're in the military. It's because most of them, it's going to last them, it's going to be the only thing they get all day. We started with 40. We upped it. I could see from, I didn't feed any children any days. Then we went to 40, and I could significantly see the blessing of God increase in our ministry when we started doing that. So I jumped it to 80, and then it went further. So I went to 200, and then we went from 200 to 800 during the pandemic, because I thought if they're trying to collapse the economy, the Bible says in Proverbs 28, 27, he who cares for the poor will never lack anything. So I thought this was like insurance to make sure our ministry doesn't lack. So rather than call, you know, what I should have done was call and say, hey, listen, obviously the economy's haywire. We're not going to be able to feed any children right now till this thing gets under control. But instead I upped it. And you could tell when we called, they were bracing for us to pull our support. I said, I know we feed 80 children a day. We're going to up it to 200. We're going to up it to 800. And then during the pandemic, we had our best financial year we ever had by far. We doubled in 2020. So then we went from 200 to 800, and then 800 to 1,000, 1,000 to 2,000 kids a day, which made us the largest donor to that ministry, Feed the Hungry, that Lester Sumrall started. 97 cents on every dollar given goes to actual food and food distribution. 3 cents or less for administration, which is like supernatural. If you have 40 cents on every dollar that goes to administration, you're considered a good nonprofit group. And then we were the largest at 2,000. I'm telling you this because this is, you do this. This is what our church does. And then we upped it. We called them up and said, we're going to increase again, even though we're already the largest, from 2,000 to 5,000 children a day. So they just sent us the new video to show. And I wanted you to get to see, since we don't all get to go on a plane and go to Nicaragua or Sri Lanka or whatever. This is from the ground. And here's Stefan from Feed the Hungry. Go ahead.
Hello, Revival Today. Stefan here from Nicaragua. So blessed by the work you're doing to reach out to the least, the last, and the lost. This is a community, Los Brasiles. They've suffered a lot over the years with the instability of the political situation here and the depressed economy and now migration of professionals and people that are able to, you know, provide services like doctors and clinicians. This community is a feeding center for every child every day. You're providing a daily meal for these kids. Today's a special day. You might see this playground in the back. Part of the ministry of Feed the Hungry is to provide a full life. A full life feels good. And that's just not a full belly. But the meals that you send here to Nicaragua and to 30 nations around the world are a little key that opens up great big doors. You're sending more than a meal. You're sending the life of Jesus, which includes joy, laughter, and play. We sent this playground down with one of our shipping containers full of food. And today's the big celebration day dedication, giving the lives of these children in this community over to Jesus as we dedicate this playground in this place that's going to serve these kids for years to come. God bless you and thank you. And may the Lord bless you 1,000 times more for what you have done in His name. Jesus said, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. You surely have.
Can you say amen? I'm going to receive an offering up front, and then we'll have time to get into the word. If you're here as a visitor, nobody brought you here for financial reasons, but believe it or not, there are people who want to give. I was thinking when President Biden announced today that today's going to be the National Day of Trans Visibility on Easter Sunday, which is, they would never do that to any other faith. I mean, that I guess it's quicker to do that than go door to door and spit in every Christian's face. And so you realize how much Satan hates this time, because every year, Passover and Resurrection Sunday coincide. The two times that Satan got his butt kicked, the worst he ever got it kicked, and he's upset about it. This is a time, and you don't hear me talk like this much as your pastor, in the spirit, this time of year is a very significant time. Pastor Rodney was arrested March 31st, 2020, for keeping his church open. How many of you remember that? That was 4 years ago. You know what's interesting, without even thinking about it? When did we sow that $1 million seed to Pastor Rodney's ministry? March 31st of last year. So today is the 1 year anniversary of when we sowed as a church $1 million to Pastor Rodney. How come that fell then? It's interesting how God had it happen on the 3 year anniversary of his arrest. It was like a reward. Then after we gave that, all kinds of things broke loose. Passover is a very significant time, and we're heading into that time right now in the spirit. This is a big day to sow seed. This is the day that God sowed, not an angel or dropped some books down from heaven, where God gave his only begotten son into the world, and like a seed went into the ground and died, and then produced a harvest of sons and daughters, of which we're a part of today. So I wanted to read you a scripture out of Philippians chapter 4. The apostle Paul said in verse 10, how I praise the Lord that you're concerned about me again. I know you've always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Verse 11, Philippians 4:11. Not that I was ever in need. I want you to say that nice and loud. Not that I was ever in need. See, this verse changed my life, because growing up as a preacher's kid and growing up in church, all offerings were taken from the standpoint of need. For example, if I was a normal preacher, I shouldn't have played that we're feeding 5,000 kids a day. I should have said, we would like to feed 5,000 children a day if you'll help. So it was always, we're trying to do something, you please help. But the Apostle Paul said, I was never in need. The Apostle Paul never, like if the Apostle Paul was your pastor, he would have never taken offerings from a standpoint of, we need a new roof, we need buses, we need chairs, because he said he wouldn't have been able to do it. Not that I was ever in need. What, did you know there's a way in life, and I know this might hit you funny, but if you listen to me, I'm not wrong. There's a way in life to never have any needs. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. What's the first thing that immediately happens? I shall not lack anything. I shall not want. When Christ becomes your Savior and your shepherd, he never leads you backward. He leads you forward. Not that I was ever in need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. God told Abraham, if you do what I tell you to do, I'll fill your storehouses with grain. That means before the need arises, the provision will be there ahead of time. By the time Passover's over, I'll probably have the largest financial testimony to announce to this church that we've ever announced, counting the Falcon 50 being donated to us. And it's going to hit around Passover, I believe. It's not done yet, so I can't announce it. But that land in Ohio Township is moving along at a lightning pace, and we hit a breakthrough. So I'll announce that soon. How many of you have been coming to the church for the majority of these 2 years? Now, have I ever come to the pulpit and said, we need your help today in a big way, or we need your help at all? And look how much it's grown. From 260 to 799. Plus however many are in Texas today. Now we have buildings down there. I have a leased house in Texas for when I go there because it's cheaper than getting a hotel suite that can fit my wife and daughter in it. And so there's all kinds, when you look around, if you go from 260 to this enormous crowd and do everything we did yesterday, plus feeding kids, plus traveling on the road and preaching, the expenses have grown astronomically. What I took in for the year as a ministry 4-5 years ago, we required a break even every month. And I'm as stress-free as I've ever been because the God who expands you is not stupid. As he expands you and your needs. I mean, look at this sound system. We didn't have this sound system in the building in 107. You didn't need it. There were 300 people. So as the church grows, you need more chairs. You need sound. Did you know when we outgrew that building? How come I never had to say, now listen, we're going to have to move to a bigger building. If you're a business owner, I'm going to have a special Saturday pancake breakfast to meet with you and challenge you. That's what they do in other churches. They find out who has money, who owns a business, and the pastor or the priest pays you a visit and asks if you can give $30,000, $50,000. I mean, it's election year. I can't go on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram without somebody asking me to chip in. That's how it's done in churches. But that was not how it was done in the Bible. Jesus was not on a tour, a begging tour, asking people to please help so I can do what God called me to do. He actually did the exact opposite. Hey, the people are hungry. Send them away because otherwise we're going to have to feed them. Jesus said, no, we're going to feed them. Tell them to sit down in groups of 50 or 100 and everyone ate until full and there was plenty left over. That's God's mentality. God's not looking to save money at the expense of you. He's looking to save you and doesn't care about the expense of money. If you're thankful for that, can you say a living amen? Say it so the devil can hear you. God cares about me more than he cares about money. See, in my flesh, I would want to save money and, for, you know, tough luck for those kids. You know, I got a ministry. But what you make happen for others, God makes happen for you. That's the law of sowing and reaping. So how come when we outgrew, which when did we get served with a notice from Moon Township? Easter. And then when did this miracle open up? Right then, Passover. That's why I have a very high expectation in my spirit. This is the last day of March. I'm going to tell you, in the name of Jesus, everybody that came out to Easter today, from April 1st to April 30th, God is going to drop a miracle from heaven on your family, on your person, and on your business. You should have this is Passover time. And we're not doing a trans Easter egg hunt at the White House. We're in the house of God celebrating the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and receiving from his hand. Can you say amen? Go ahead and give the Lord a great hand clap. Let's celebrate this Easter. Well, say it so the devil can hear you. Not that I was ever in need. You'll never have any needs. So we outgrow 107, come back the next week, it's more jammed, and we're getting served with notices because of the parking problems and all that. And then, which by the way, that's consistent with the Bible. God did promise that he would give you a problem if you followed him. See if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that's so great you won't have room enough to take it all in. That's the only problem we've had in this ministry. Too many people, too many cars. And then you know what else the Bible says? The wicked will see it and gnash their teeth with rage. That's why people come and serve us with notices. That's why this is the only business in 5 years in Coriopolis where they've sent people to count heads to make sure we were in compliance to shut it down. Because wicked people don't like to see the righteous prosper. But if you're grinding your teeth at this point, you're going to be down to bloody gums by next year because all your teeth grinding can't stop the blessing of God. You can't curse who God has blessed. The Republicans can't mess it up. The Democrats can't stop it. When you get in with God, you take your life out of the control of man's hands and you put it in God's hands. You say out loud, you can't curse who God has blessed. And the story of this building's worth bringing up. As I'm there that second Sunday, you know, I believe everything I preach, or I want to preach it. Well, I know I'm not supposed to have any needs, but Lord, I'm out of room. And I got this building by a miracle. I don't have a way to get another building. And a guy in shorts and a t-shirt and a baseball hat and sneakers comes up and goes, "Hey, Reverend, I don't mean to overstep my bounds, but it looks like you're out of space." "I know." He said, I don't want to be pushy, but he said, "I just built a 70,000 square foot building in Coraopolis. It's not ready yet, but if you'd like to use it as your church, you can use it for as long as you want and just pay me whatever you want." I'm sorry, could you repeat that? Could someone hold me up before I fall over? Are you an angel or a man? That was Tuffy Schellenberger that owns this in the Pittsburgh Riverhounds. What makes a man? He came to the church twice. What does he care? All the Christians left. "Good luck, Pastor. God bless you. We're praying for you." Why does he care? Then we come here and all these chairs are here. He said, "I bought all the chairs for you to help you out." Why? Because there's a spiritual. Then as he's done that. I mean, you know, he was going to build an addition on the side of the building so I could have a place to study before I preach. And I stopped him from it. Not to be humble, but I do my studying at home and drive straight here. So I didn't want him to build something and it sit empty. Why? Why are people nice to me? Why did someone give me a jet? "Hey, I saw you fly a lot. Here's a jet." And then when somebody gave me the jet, somebody from Texas wired $151,000 and wrote in the memo, "For fuel." What do you care? So you got people that hate ministers that have planes. Then you have other people that go, "Hey, how's he going to fill it up with gas? I'm going to help." See, what you want to know how it happened? When you erase other people's needs, God erases your needs. Because he wrote to that church. How many feel the presence of God in here? See, think about it. God could have just as easily said, "Forget you people. I told you one simple thing, don't eat fruit from one tree." And you couldn't even do that. "So enjoy your drugs, enjoy your sin, enjoy hell. I'll create a new planet with new people." But he didn't. He got involved in something that had nothing to do with him. The hurts of me and the hurts of you. And he took the thing that was most precious to him, Jesus, and gave Jesus as a seed to rescue us from our need. You know what God said? He transferred the principle over to us. If you help people who you know can pay you back. See, if I'm a pastor and I throw a dinner for all ever, I think he owns this company, we'll invite him. And I think he owns this company, we'll invite him. She owns this company, we'll invite her. You know, if you go to this church, I treat you the same, no matter what amount of money you make, poorly. I insult everybody equally, regardless of how much money they make. Because the Bible actually says if you show preferential treatment to people who you know can help you, if you help those who you know can pay you back, then you've received your reward. You're no different than the heathen. But if you help people who you know can't pay you back, nobody at those outreaches yesterday can pay me back. The secret to raising a $21 million budget and paying cash for a 6,000-seat church building is not by helping people in Section 8 housing. It's to find people that are rich. But when you do it God's way, go find people purposely who you know have zero ability to help you back. And God said, if you do that, then your heavenly Father will reward you. When you go after people nobody wants, God will give you what everybody wants. And that's what I discovered with those kids in Nicaragua and Uganda and everywhere else we send that food to. It's an effort. Instead of trying to get money, go erase needs from people who have no help. And God said, when you erase their need, and I close the offering part with this, Philippians chapter 4. Paul told that Philippian church, the reason I don't have any needs is you were the only church that gave me financial help again and again. Verse 15, Philippians 4:15. You were the only church that sent me financial help. No other church did that. So he didn't quote that to every church. He quoted it to that church. And the same God that supplies all my needs will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. What you make happen for others, God makes happen for you. And to the extent you make things happen for others, God makes it happen for you. Pastor Rodney is my spiritual father. He's building a building, and he's building another building. And 1 year ago today, if you guys have the picture, throw it up. I gave $1 million, one lump sum, not a loan, not a 0% loan, $1 million. And what did I tell him when I gave it to him? I'm not doing this to help you. I'm doing it to help who? Me. I can't build. I got a nice Happy Gilmore golf check printed up for him. And I wanted to do that because that guy went through hell for 3 years. Arrested, possible chance of rearrest for being a pastor having church. Well, $1 million sounds like a lot of money. Can I build? Could I build a 200-seat church for $1 million? So I can't build a 6,000-seat church for $1 million. So rather than try to keep it and cut back and cut salaries and cut giving, let it splash the pot. Let it fly. And what you make happen for others, God makes happen for you. So all this offering is, if you're waiting for me to tell you a need to meet, you're going to be waiting a while. I don't have any needs. Say this scripture with me, Proverbs 10:22. Say, the blessing of the Lord makes a man rich. That's what the Bible says. Not meets your needs, makes a man rich. And what's the second part? Addeth no sorrow. When I was young, I liked the rich part. But now that I'm getting a little older, I'm starting to really enjoy the addeth no sorrow part. I don't need a pill to go to sleep. I don't know why anybody needs a pill to sleep. If you ever can't sleep, don't take a pill. Go to Waffle House, order the T-bone steak, hash browns, waffles, and eggs over easy. You'll be lucky if you make it back to your car. You might stop for a nap in the parking lot. Amen. You don't need any pill. I don't have to take a pill to go to sleep. I don't have to take a pill to wake up. I don't have to remember if I paid my mistress off or not. I don't live unrighteously. I live before God, and the God of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. When you sow this seed today, I want you to believe with me for two things. Number one, any need you have in your life, according to the word of God, don't leave here and say, Jonathan said, the Bible says. So when you sow your seed, believe for all needs to be erased. Some of you that are here have a plan to make a move. After I get this thing paid off, I'd like to do this with my business. After I get this paid off, I'd like to do this with my family. Well, let God pay it off. Stop being stagnated by a need that's hanging over your head. God can wipe that thing out before lunch today in Jesus' name. Everybody say, no needs. And then number two, I want you to believe with me that before May 1st, you're going to have a massive testimony. Now you're going to have to look for one. Every person in this building, I don't care if you go to this church or not, because you took time to be in God's house today, by May 1st, you will cry tears of joy saying, surely the Lord has done great things. If you believe that with me, clap your hands one more time. Go ahead and bring the offering envelopes. I believe they're in your seat. Ushers, you can come forward. Musicians, get a song ready with some praise on it. If you need an offering envelope, just signal one of those intimidating looking men. The way our ushers move, it looks more like a robbery than an offering, but it is an offering. Anybody ever hear of Pastor David Wilkerson? He's in heaven now. When he started his church in Brooklyn, a Puerto Rican gang member leader got saved named Nicky Cruz. So he didn't have any helpers at the church. So he made Nicky Cruz an usher and had him take the offering. David Wilkerson said when they took the offering, he went over and passed the offering plate to the guy, and the guy took it and passed it to the next guy, and he reached, put it back in front of him, and flipped a switchblade and put it to him. They said, no, these are free will offerings. This is not a collection. So ushers, I'm just telling you, don't threaten the people. It's a free, everybody say free will offering. RevivalToday.com, you click give now. Celebration seed to celebrate the triumph of Christ and to plant something that April is going to be a very special month. Now, if you see something cataclysmic happen in the month of April, say this out loud. I live in the world, but I'm not of the world. Say, I walk a different path. You know, our government's playing a dangerous game. When you start meddling with the nation of Israel and telling Israel what they need to do and telling Israel they need to let Hamas go do whatever they want to them, that's bad. But God's children are protected. Can you say amen? Whatever darkness comes on the world, you're never going to feel it because you live in this world, but you're not of the world. Can you say amen? All right. RevivalToday.com. If you're watching online, you click give now. Pick any number and hold the zero down for about 3 seconds and you'll greatly help us out. Give you 20 more seconds to fill that out. Feels good in here. Praise God. What an answer to prayer. All our staff that's here and volunteers, you did such a great job this weekend and worked so hard. I'm closing the office for the entire week until Friday when we meet for our first service of the week. So enjoy a week off with your family, or if you and your family aren't getting along, enjoy a nice week in the woods in a camper, up to you. We'll see you back on Friday. Give the staff and volunteers of this great church a hand clap. You guys knocked it out of the park. All right, hold your seat up before the Lord. Say this out loud. Thank you, Father, as I put your kingdom first. All my needs are supplied. And miracles take place in the month of April. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what's never entered into the heart of man, that becomes normal for me from today. And let me pray for you as your pastor. I pray this month, April 2024, from the 1st to the 30th, will be a record-setting month for you. I mean like a year wrapped in a month. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen. Father, as your word goes forth, as we celebrate the day that Satan lost his power over man, I pray that every person who came here today would receive of the power of your word. That every issue of concern that they walked in here with would be knocked off of their life permanently in Jesus' name. And because you're an unfailing God, we don't wait till it happens. We thank you in advance by faith, for you never fail. You're too faithful to fail. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, give the Lord another great hand clap. You can be seated. You know, this might be hard for you to believe, but I actually don't have a lot of friends. But one of my friends that I invited to church today came today. Yuri, if you'd stand up. This man is my friend, and I'd like you to give him a great hand clap. A great blessing to Pittsburgh. Great family. Thanks for coming today, my friend. John chapter 11. I wanted to preach a message, the same exact message I preached yesterday, just a little different. Why do so many people believe in Jesus? What's the big deal? Why do people have such strong opinions? Why can't people even that don't believe in him can't even curse without leaving his name out of their mouth? Who is this guy? You know, if you talk to people that aren't in church today, they don't have a problem, most of them, with you going to church. Most of them that aren't in the cabinet of the Biden administration. But, I'm sure that guy taught a lot of good things. I don't think you need to, you know, it's like Abraham Lincoln. Yeah, I'm sure he's a good guy. I'm not taking one day a week and celebrating his life. George Washington was a good guy, you know, did a lot of great things. I'm not taking a day of my week, and I'm not adorning my car with a picture of George Washington. Jesus did a lot of great things. I'm sure he taught a lot of great things. I don't think you need to be obsessive about it. Why do so many people believe in Jesus? And why do not just so many people believe in Jesus? Why do so many people have their life wrapped up in Christ? Since I'm one of those people that Jesus is not a part of my life, he is my life. He changed my life. I mean changed it. He changed it enough that if you've been coming to church here the last 2 years, you've seen two older ladies at two different times stop me while I was preaching and ask what happened to my speech impediment. Because I grew up in Washington County and they knew me when I was 5. Couldn't speak, had to miss recess to get speech therapy. And the speech therapy, by the way, never took. It's not one of those church testimonies that I grew up with. Praise the Lord, we prayed for Sister Frida, and after 9 years of surgery, she's healed. The speech therapist quit Told my mother, it's not taking. I had no ability to do anything, not to do things at the level I'm doing it at now. I had no ability to do anything at all that I'm doing right now, including speaking. But Jesus changed my life. You know, the more I hear this hatred there is for Christianity in the world, some of the things I kept to myself, I'm not going to keep them to myself anymore. I was 8 years old with that speech impediment and went up to change for bed, picked my pajamas up off the bed. And when I looked up, there was an angel across the bed from me in Bridgeville, 790 Wheatland Circle. And the angel, I was just still. Whole thing lasted less than a minute. Jonathan, God has reserved you for this last period of time to be an evangelist, to call people that are now in darkness into light. For soon it will be eternally too late. Do you understand? And I said, yes. And the angel left. And within 2 years, the speech impediment cleared up. And then, you know, you look at the crowd here. You can't tell me there aren't angels helping me. There's a family that's here that they told me. They said, you're going to think I'm crazy. But we were visiting my girlfriend's mother up on the hill there, looking down at this building, not even knowing what was going on there. And we said, what is that? And we both heard a voice say, go down there and be a part of that. That's God help. You call them, I'll help you get the crowd to call them. Yesterday, 5,000 people. My dad down in Texas preaching to 3,000. Me at just under 800. Then some stragglers maybe. I don't know how you get to 5,000 from that. But it's 5,000. And all those people getting saved. How come they all like me? How come people that have nothing in common with me and don't like church will sit and start to warm up to it? Because Jesus is not a dead leader. Number one, why do so many people believe in Jesus? And I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's hard to get by the empty tomb. People don't follow a dead leader. All the people that like President Biden, when he dies, they'll move on to a younger Democratic candidate. All the people that like President Trump, when he passes, they'll look for a new Republican just like they did after Ronald Reagan. People move on once somebody dies. But Jesus is not a dead leader. Every religion can take you to the tomb of their founder. Only Christianity can take you to an empty tomb. Because he's not dead, he's alive. And the devil hates that his greatest plan was to nail Jesus to a cross and then put him in a tomb and seal it with a stone and have special forces, Roman battalion soldiers, guard that tomb. But on the third day, they went to the tomb, and it was empty. They still didn't know what was happening. His own disciples started to cry. And a man came in the tomb and said, why weepest thou? Why are you crying? Because they've stolen my Lord's body, and I don't know where they've laid him. But that man was not a man, and he wasn't a gardener. He was an angel of the Lord, who then said, why seek ye the living among the dead? For the Jesus that you're looking for is not here. He is alive and he lives forevermore. Then one more sentence. Now go tell everyone. I have a very easy job. I don't know why anybody thanks me for anything. I never healed anybody. I never saved anybody's soul. The job of a preacher is to proclaim Jesus is alive. But then something supernatural happens when you do that. The Bible says that when you go and tell them that he's alive, that Jesus watches over that word and then begins to perform that word to show people that he's alive. My prayer is this Easter. Now, if you wanted a nice church, we're not going to keep you here long, but if you wanted to hear a nice little half-hearted message about the Easter story, before you go to have mimosas with your girlfriend. That's not our goal today. My goal is for you to have an encounter with the risen Jesus Christ before you leave here. And the next 9 months of this year, April 1st to December 31st, to be the greatest 9 months you've ever had, because you can purely say, Jesus set me free. If you can testify to the reality of the power of the risen Jesus Christ, take 15 seconds, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Why do so many people believe in Jesus. John 11, verse 23, talking about Lazarus. Your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. But Jesus told her, John 11, 25, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Who has a King James or New King James? John 11, 25. You got it? Let me see it. I'll give it back, I promise. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even after he dies. Amplified, 25 in the King James. I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And I've prayed for people that might as well have been dead. If you've ever met somebody in the throes of heroin addiction or late stage meth addiction or late stage alcoholism or prison, Jesus said, I don't care if you're a late stage addict. I don't care if you're dead. Lazarus was dead 4 days. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he clearly wasn't talking about in the afterlife, because he didn't say your brother will live one day in heaven. After he got done telling him, I'm the resurrection and the life. Everyone who believes in me, everybody say everyone. Everyone means you, no matter who you are or what you're going through. And I think it sounds too simple for people. So you're telling me all I have to do is believe it. Yeah, because God works by faith. Faith is of the heart. Faith is not something you perform in the physical realm. When the blind man came to Jesus, he said, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said, I want to see. Jesus didn't say, start eating some carrots. And Luke is a doctor. I'm going to see if maybe he can do some LASIK surgery on you. I don't want to know how primitive LASIK surgery would have been in 30 AD. Jesus, what was his answer? Did he rub salve on his eyes? Did he begin to work with his eyes? No. Believest thou that I can make you see? And he replied, yes, Lord. And Jesus said, as your faith is, so be it unto you. When you believe with your heart, what did Jesus tell Thomas? Doubting Thomas said, I know you all say you went to the tomb and it's empty. Let me tell you something. I saw how he was beaten. I saw what they did to him on the cross. Unless I put my hand in the holes in his hand and put my hand in the hole in his side where they put the spear, I will not believe that he's alive. One day they're sitting and eating and Jesus walks through the wall. One of the benefits of being glorified, use any entrance. And I bet you the fish sandwich fell out of Thomas's mouth. And he thought, uh-oh, I think I know where this is going. And Jesus, with those eyes, looked right through him and said, take your finger and put it in the holes in my hands. And lifted his robe up. Take your hand and put it in the hole in my side. And he did. And Jesus said, now you believe because you've seen. But blessed are they that though they've never seen, still they believe. There's an added blessing in believing the things that are spoken to you out of the Word of God. Can you say amen? Why do so many people believe in Jesus? Number one, because of the things he said, the way he acted, and who he was. I'm going to play a video that I played yesterday. We play it every Easter. If people want to get sick of it, I'd probably play it every Sunday and just sit there. But before I play it, Jesus was different. When Joe Biden gets done speaking, you're not even allowed to ask him questions. He goes to the back room. Prime Minister of Belgium, same thing. When you're an important person, nobody can get to you. You speak and you leave. And big guys shuttle you off. Jesus was always among the people, laying his hands not on people that are like reporters or government agents that are worth getting in with, lepers, blind, diseased, afflicted. He went and sought them out to the point that the Bible says one day he was eating with people that were tax collectors, prostitutes, party people, the rough people of the city. And the religious leaders were looking at him and said, if he was the Son of God, surely he would know who those people were and he wouldn't eat with them. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. And I, the Son of Man, have come to seek and to save those who are lost. Jesus didn't come for religious people. He came for the broken, the hurting, the dying, and the bound. And the Bible says he hasn't changed. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. If you're the most broken person in Allegheny County, Ohio, West Virginia, New York, wherever you came in from, you're only one prayer away from that power that raised Christ from the dead, snatching you out of whatever problem you're in and putting your feet back on the rock to stay. One more time on this Resurrection Sunday, if you can testify to that living power, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is SM Lockridge. Why do so many people believe in Jesus? Take it away, Dr. Lockridge.
My king was born king. The Bible says he's a seven-way king. He's a king of the Jews. That's a racial king.
Turn it up.
He's a king of Israel. That's a national king. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Well, I wonder if you know him. Do you know him? Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my king? David said the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. My king is the only one for whom there are no means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's impurely powerful. And he's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's august. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in high criticism. He's a fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. That's my king. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. Well, he's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He starves on and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the leprous. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Well, my king is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. He's a master of the mighty. He's a captain of the populace. He's a head of the heroes. He's a leader of the legislator. He's an overseer of the overcomers. He's a governor of governors. He's a prince of princes. He's a king of kings. And he's a Lord of lords. That's it. purpose is manifold. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's indescribable. Yeah. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm trying to tell you, the heavens of heavens cannot contain him, let alone a man explaining him. You can't get him out of your mouth. You can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. And Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. Yeah! He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my king. Is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Hey! All the power belongs to my king. We around here talking about black power and white power and green power, but it's God's power. Thine is the power. Yeah! And the glory. We finally get prestige and honor and glory for ourselves, but the glory is all his. Yes, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. How long is that? And ever and ever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all of the forever, then amen.
That's why so many people believe in Jesus, number one. Number two, because of what happens when you tell people. What happened when Jesus rose from the dead? Jesus told them, commanded that this, if you call yourself a disciple, this is the command. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Gentlemen and ladies, this is my 25th church service like this in the last 13 days. Because that's the command. Don't run a little 60-minute service and go play golf all week and hope more people come next week. Go into all the world, Vancouver, Fort Worth, Pittsburgh, Georgia, Northeast Pennsylvania next week, Lancaster. Lancaster needs God. It's a weird city, Amish city that has high crime. I've never seen a drive-by shooting done from a donkey before, but that's Lancaster. The only hope for America is to follow what Jesus said. Who takes a light and keeps it under a bushel? No, you take the light and put it up high where it gives light to everyone. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Not just give people hugs, not give people bottles of water. Tell them the good news that I died so they can live. I died so they don't have to die. I was beaten, Isaiah 53, that they might have peace. And by my stripes, you are healed. Tell them. If they don't know, they can't believe, because you can't believe in what you haven't heard. So tell them. And the Bible says he told them, go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptizing them. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. Anyone who refuses to believe will be damned. And these signs will follow those that believe. I'm going to tell you something. I was debating whether to say this or not. You know Moon Township? that served us with papers 2 Easters ago, served us with papers on Good Friday to not have service. You know why? Because in America, it's okay to have a church. As long as it's on 2 acres of property and seats about 200 to 300 people. It's like the government has carved out what is an okay church. Nice little building for a few people to meet. These kinds of meetings make evil people nervous. Hillary Clinton couldn't draw this many people with $100 million when she was running for president. She never had more than 200 people with a $200 million budget. All these politicians, they can't have anybody come. So they're nervous because every Sunday there's a drawing power where God draws people in to hear that Jesus is alive. It's not a political party. It's the power of the living God. And I made up my mind. I mean, that video gives you a little taste of it, just a little. If somebody did all that for me and then wants people to know it, I'm not having a 200-seat church. Let me tell you something. If powers are getting stirred up in this county right now over this many people, I told you what my goal is. I found out when the Penguins lose their lease on PPG Paints Arena, I want to make sure this church is at a place that when the Penguins move out, we move in. Then go to multiple services till there's nobody left on the streets of Pittsburgh, till there's nobody laying in their own urine on Smithfield Street, because this city has been swept with the resurrection life of God and healed broken families and restored broken children. That's our mission. Why do so many people believe in Jesus? Because not just of what he did then, but what happens now? Go into all the world and tell them I'm alive. And when you do, not these signs might follow those that believe. These signs will follow. Everyone who believes in my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. If they take up poisonous serpents, they'll be unharmed. And if they eat any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. There's a missionary I know. He went to a rural village in Mexico, and they were trying to poison him and kill him. The religion they already had in that section didn't want him there. So they're feeding him high-level poison food after he preached. And they're waiting for him to die. And you're trained when you go to Bible college, when you go to another culture, whatever they feed you, eat it and ask for more. So he eats the whole poison food. Then that's delicious. Can I have more? They say, sure. They feed him more poison stuff. He eats that. Well, I think I'm full, but I look forward to having that again tomorrow. They tried to poison him 3 nights in a row while he had seconds of the poison. And after 3 nights of being unable to kill him, they realized this isn't some American coming to Mexico to tell him about some American religion. This man was sent by God to tell us about Jesus Christ, because there are signs that follow you when you tell people the greatest story ever told. My wife was preaching Friday night. We had a pretty cool night. My dad was preaching in Texas. I was preaching in Georgia. And Adolph was preaching here simultaneously. And that lady was driven here from Cleveland in a wheelchair and hadn't walked in many years, according to her family member, which Adalys didn't know. And Adalys went over and prayed for her on Good Friday, and here's what happened. Pause. When somebody's legs are bent in like that, the muscles haven't been used. It's like the foundation of the body's collapsing. That's how you know somebody hasn't walked. Feet are in an odd position. My wife's just a regular old believer, you know? She's just a lady following the will of God, just a regular Puerto Rican, praying for a lady like the Bible says. Because Jesus said, after I leave, the same work that you saw me do, you're to do. I prayed for the sick, you pray for the sick. I cast out devils, you cast out devils. Jesus didn't refer people for therapy. We have therapists that go to our church. Keep up the good work. But the church is not to be a referral center for you to get help out there. The help is here at the altar because Jesus is alive. Go ahead, play the rest. There she is, walking for the first time. There's Pastor Dean that helped Pray for her and get her out of the wheelchair. Look at that. Pause it. What happens when you pray for the cripple? They get their strength back and their bones realigned. That's why the Bible says when Peter prayed for that crippled man, Acts 3, he stood to his feet, then went walking and leaping and praising God. Everybody say progression. Keep going. What other pictures and video do you have? Continue. She walked home. I mean, they drove her to Cleveland, but then she walked to her house out of the car. We didn't make her prove the miracle that much. Now you get on your feet and you walk to Cleveland. That's the fifth wheelchair emptied in 2 years of this church. Number five. And everybody say, we're just getting warmed up. Why do so many people believe in Jesus? Because not just of what he said and what he did, but that his word is still active and alive now. And still is sharper than any two-edged sword now. And still carries the same power now that it carried then. Can you say amen? And I want to tell you, whether you're in a wheelchair, whether you've been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, cancer in tumor form, cancer in the blood, the cancer is now metastasized and spread through the body. The same way the Bible says in Matthew 8, 16 and 17, they brought unto him all the sick, and no matter what their sickness or what their disease or if they were possessed by evil spirits, he healed them. How many? Oh, has Jesus changed? There's nothing the devil has done to you that God can't do something about it today. In fact, that billboard we have on 376, I put a hokey saying on it, but it's catchy. When the devil starts messing, God starts. You might have been going through a hard time up through this morning, but God has a plan. That's why you're here, to get you here and tell the devil enough is enough. And you're going to find the same way that Satan had no power to keep Jesus in the tomb. He's got no power to keep you in the chains and the prison that you're in today. You're one prayer away from a miracle today in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe it, clap your hands and give God a mighty shout. And number three, because of the testimonies of the changed lives of those who follow Christ to this day. I get nervous when I hear people say, I'm Catholic, I'm Presbyterian, I'm Assemblies of God. The Assemblies of God General Presbytery did not die on the cross for you. The Presbyterian overseer didn't die on the cross for you. People split up, made factions because they disagree on points of doctrine. My relationship is not with Rodney Howard Brown for my salvation. It's not through RMIMA. It's not through the Assemblies of God or the Church of God in Christ. I'm Methodist. Do Methodists have their own heaven? Is there a Methodist gate into heaven? I'm Presbyterian. I'm Episcopal. I want you watching on DirecTV and that are here, 100% of you, to leave this place today knowing that you're going to heaven, not because you know a church, but because you know the head of the church, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and have had an encounter with him. I'm going to give you the chance to do that like we did so many people yesterday. And when you have an encounter with him, Jesus never met anybody or touched anybody and left them the same or even remotely like they were before they met him. We've had three people receive Christ in this church in 2 years and detransition from their gender transition. I never preached one sermon on it. I never told them to. They just didn't want to do that anymore. People throw their stuff away. I played that video when we were preaching in West Virginia. And right in the middle of my uncle preaching, everybody just grabbed their cigarettes and vape pens and walked to the front and started throwing them on the altar. I don't want this stuff anymore. When you become a Christian, it's not you trying to live a good life, but really you want to sin. Jesus takes the sin out of you. You don't want it anymore. I don't want it. I don't want any of the things this world offers any more than I look in the toilet and want what's in the toilet. I don't want it. I actually don't want it. I want it away from me. And so it's not you trying to do what you don't want to do. It's the Bible says, I take out your old heart and I give you a new heart. If any man believes in me, the Bible says, he'll be born again. He's a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I'm new. Old me couldn't talk. God gave me a new mouth. God gave me a new body. God gave me everything I had. If you lay down your life, God will give you his life. It's not you being miserable and giving up the things that are in the world. It's giving up the filth of this world that you can attain under the glory of God. I see you attaining under that glory today in Jesus' mighty name. Where I just got back from, Vancouver, British Columbia, 2 weeks ago. There was a lady named Sandra from Iraq who had made up her mind she was going to kill herself. Married, 3 children, successful business, had enough. She made sure suicide was covered in her insurance. She made an email that was going to be sent after her suicide to her husband that told all the passwords to all the accounts. A letter to every one of her children, letting her know, them know it's not their fault. You'll hear her testimony. She was abused as a child and was, there's things that happen to people when they were young that it's like the devil did enough to you by the time you were 5 or 6 that I won't have to worry about them anymore. They're so messed up, they'll never find their way back. But God specializes in rescue missions, in seeking and saving those who are lost. Somebody sent her a clip of one of my YouTube videos, and she watched it, then watched another one. I see so many people crying right now. As the Lord's touch, you see, God's word's alive. You don't have to wait till I pray for you. Now we're going to have prayer. Now God can move. God's moving right now. God's setting people free right now. God's opening prison doors right now. God's knocking generation-old chains off of your wrists now. You're not leaving here like you came. You're going to have the best Easter dinner that you've ever had in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe it, can you shout yes? Yes. She gave her life to the Lord, told the rest of her family, and they started watching our broadcast from this church. And then started a sister church in Vancouver. Brought it under my sister and brother-in-law. And you're going to see her great testimony. Everybody say, Jesus changes lives today. Every other religion, you're hearing stories about an old guy and what he used to do. But because Jesus is alive, he's still changing lives today. And not only did she get delivered, she started a church. That's the church I went to. Up to 75 people. We had 340 on Wednesday, 502 on Friday, in a 320-seater in Canada. Because when God sets you free, it's like throwing a rock in a pond. It doesn't stay with you. The ripples go out and affect your whole family. Some of you are going to get free tonight. Today, you're going to find life in Christ. But it's not just going to affect you. It's going to knock the devil out of your whole family permanently today. This is Resurrection Sunday. This is the day that Christ defeated Satan. He didn't do it for him. He did it for me, and he did it for you in Jesus' name. Listen to Sandra's testimony, and then I'm going to pray for you.
My name is Sandra, and I am from Vancouver, British Columbia. I came across Evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth on YouTube. This was 4 years ago in February. One of my friends sent me a YouTube video, and it was on fasting. So what had happened, what led to that was that as a child, I grew up Catholic. I was raised in a Catholic family and a Catholic home. And as a child, I was sexually abused for 5 years, almost every day. And that happened in the church, in a church setting. So when I grew up, I really believed, you know, that I'm not loved, and I don't deserve happiness, and I don't deserve, you know, to be loved by everybody around me. So I came to a point, this was in 2019, I came to a point where I thought, you know what, this is not working. This is not going anywhere. And this was like during Christmas time. And I thought, I'm gonna have to commit suicide because I don't want to be here. I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to make everybody that's around me feel this way. So I made plans to jump off a bridge, to jump off Portman Bridge, which is a bridge here in Vancouver. I made sure that our life insurance was, suicide was covered. So that way they were able to be taken care of. I made sure that I took care of our finances as a family. So I have an email typed up that I was going to send to my husband that has all of our passwords and like birth certificates, marriage certificates, just things that he wouldn't know where to find in the house. And I was going to make sure that, he would know what to do once it happened. And so I wanted to make a video for my boys so that way they know, this is nothing to do with them. They didn't do anything, that caused me to take my life. So I couldn't really bring myself to do it. We were having a fellowship group at my house, and one of my friends was there, and they had no idea what I was feeling and what I was going through. Nobody did around me. And so she was fasting with her husband, and I thought, fasting, why are you fasting? You're not Catholic. I thought it was a Catholic thing. And she shared with me, what fasting does, and it's from the Bible. And I thought, okay, it can make things, it can help you and it can change you. And I figured, I'm going to try it. It's a YouTube video of this guy that I can send you, and he'll explain it. He'll break it down and you'll understand. And so I thought, okay, that's fine. So she sent it. And that's when she sent me Evangelist Jonathan's, YouTube channel and that video, the link to that video. So I watched the morning video, which is a broadcast that he was doing on the intro for 21 day fasting and prayer. And then it was the night service where he started preaching on John 10:10, which is the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and give you life more abundantly. And he spoke on how if you've experienced, tragedy, or if you've experienced trauma or anything that you've gone through in life, God is not the cause. And that Jesus loves you. And
of all the things I've preached, that's the feedback I get the most. That when you preach that God didn't cause the problem. See, the devil's a lying bastard. He slaps you in the head and then gets you to think it's God that did it. Why did God do that? No. The Bible in one verse, John 10:10. The thief, the devil, comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Why would I go to church after all God's done to me? God didn't do it. He's not the author of your problem. He's the author of your solution. The thief came to steal. The bad thoughts don't come from heaven. They come from hell. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Continue.
He wants to heal you, and he wants to deliver you, and he just went through it so well, and he explained it so well. And obviously at that moment I realized, and he said it's the enemy that comes, that it obviously causes what I went through, and then all the thoughts. So that night, at that night service, I gave my life to the Lord, and I went through the fast for 21 days. And I remember on the 21st day, we were in Mexico, we were having a family vacation. And prior to that, I mean, we've been married for 10 years. And prior to that, every family vacation was terrible because of obviously what I had gone through. And it was on the 21st day, we were sitting in Mexico, and my husband said, this is probably, and he had no idea I was fasting. He had no idea what I was doing. And he's like, this is probably one of the best family vacations we've ever had. And so I explained what had happened. And, and here we are. So after that, this was in February 2020. Obviously, you go through the lockdowns, so all of that happened. And in May, I got called into the ministry. I enrolled into Bible school, I think in September. And I completed that. I sold my business. And, I've been in ministry since. I'm in ministry now. And, praise God, all glory to God. And I'm so thankful for Evangelist Jonathan in the ministry, because God used him to save my life.
That, are you going to leave the part about me out of it? We don't ask them to put that in because I didn't do it. I never met her till last week. That all happened without me. The Lord did it, but somebody has to hear. And I see all the people weeping as we're talking. There's nothing the devil's done to you that God can't do something about it right now. Find me one person in the Bible that they brought to Jesus, and Jesus said, a little late, isn't it? In fact, that's why I read that story about Lazarus. Because even his own family that wanted prayer for him said, okay, you should have got here sooner. He's been dead 4 days. To show that it's never too far gone. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. They that believe in me, though they were dead, yet shall they live. Roll the stone aside. And they rolled it aside. And he said, he didn't pray for 2 hours. Lazarus, and my grandfather said, if he didn't say Lazarus, it had cleared the whole graveyard out. Lazarus, come out. And out comes Lazarus's body. And they unwrap him and let him go. And in chapter 12, they're eating a meal together. There's nothing you've gone through that the power of God can't wash off your life and make you right today. I want you to stand on your feet all over this place. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Yesterday, we had 407. Actually, open your eyes back up. You have that picture, Ram, yet? You know, that was Sandra, mother, wife, business owner. Do you have the Border Patrol pictures with the agents? There's our Border Patrol. That's me at the Juarez El Paso crossing where they're having 3 to 5 suicides every handful of days because of the stress of their job that asked if they could have prayer when we toured the border with them. Everybody needs Jesus. Those guys couldn't be any different from her. She's an Iraqi woman. They're strong military trained men. And they're going through harsh things. People need Jesus Christ. He didn't die for one group of people. He's the lamb that was slain for every tongue, every tribe, every nation, and every race. I'm thankful that we've had over almost 1,000 people make decisions for Jesus Christ this weekend already. But it's not enough. There's not 700 people that live in Pittsburgh. There's 300 and some thousand and 1.2 million in the area. Those are just the ones that are here legally. So it could be 1, 1, 3, 1, 4, 1, 5. Who knows? So the work never stops because it's not enough. You know, well, that's enough. Now the rest of the people can die. You know what the Bible says? Unless you believe, Jesus said, you will all die in your sins. Sin brings death. It's not a game. It's not trying to get people to switch religions. It's a rescue mission that Jesus started. I came to seek and save those that are lost. If you don't believe me because of what I say, at least believe me because of the work that you see me do. For this temple will be torn down, talking about his body. But in 3 days, my Father will give me power to raise it back up. What about you? Have you ever taken 2 minutes of your life and opened the door of your heart to receive what Christ did? Or have you decided to be hard-hearted? Which I'm a man, many men were trained to be like that. Just tough it out, grit your teeth, not going to talk about it. But you know what? Doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. Nobody is wired where they can put up with the pressures of life. Because the devil will break anybody down. It'll break down strong people. You can't resist him in your own strength. You have to receive that strength. And you know what the Bible says in John 1:12? As many as received him, to them he gave power. It's not you trying. I don't know if I can live like that. You can. As many as received me, the same power I had, I give unto you power. He gave them power to become the sons and daughters of God. There really is a heaven. There really is a hell. And hell's such a severe place that Jesus left heaven and went through all that so that you wouldn't have to go. He went through your hell. He took your sin. He died your death. But until you receive it, it doesn't do you any good. You have to turn your back on sin. You have to tell the devil today, me and you are through. We have no further business together. You're not going to dictate my thoughts at night and my happiness and put visions in my head of me jumping off a bridge. I'm not living like that. I found out today from the Bible, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came, not so you could survive, so you could have life and have it more abundantly. We had so many hands go up yesterday. And it should be like that today. There should not be two or three people. We're not going to hold you long. We're not going to do anything strange. But we're going to pray the most powerful prayer that there is on planet Earth. The salvation prayer. The prayer where you turn your back on the devil and receive Christ. What better day to do it than Resurrection Sunday? For the rest of your life, this holiday for you will not be Trans Day of Visibility or Easter Sunday or about chocolate-covered peanut butter. That's the weekend I got right with God. And oh, what a glorious change there's been. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you say, Jonathan, one of two things. Either A, I've never received Jesus Christ publicly. Has to be public. Jesus said so. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father that's in heaven. You have to come out from the crowd and take a stand. Something about making it public makes it permanent. I don't care what people think. I'm going to do what's right. And this white line has become a place where people stand to make their eternity secure and sure. And I want you to be one of the thousands who have come forward in the short history of this church and made Jesus Christ your Lord. Number two, if you once received Christ, vacation Bible school as a child, youth camp as a teenager, but life went haywire. And you realize now the devil used that attack against your life to get you out of fellowship with God. And on your way to hell, he did his best to reclaim your soul. But you realize today, God brought me here, that the devil's not going to write the last chapter of my life. The devil might have written chapter one, but I'm going to write the last chapter with God, and it's going to be a glorious chapter, not a chapter of defeat. I'll throw in one more thing. The Bible says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I never used to preach on this because I didn't have a kid. Now that I have a wife and a child, a supreme motivation to do what you're about to do should be, I'm taking a spiritual step today that every battle that I had to fight in life, my family and my children will never have to fight those battles. Because it only takes one person in a family to say enough is enough. Sandra made that choice, and now about 38 of her Iraqi family are in church and serving the Lord. Somebody's going to make that choice today, and it's going to spearhead something for your entire last name. If you believe that, can you say amen? If you're here and you say, Jonathan, that's me. Whatever it costs me, whatever relationships it costs me, whatever income from illicit sales it costs me, I see what it cost Jesus for me. He gave up his life in brutal fashion that I might live. I make a decision today. I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to be a victim. I realize Jesus rose for me that I might live. And today I receive what he did on my behalf. All over this massive room, I want you to quickly put your hand up really high so I can see it and wave it. I want prayer. I want to receive Jesus. Keep your hands up. I'm going to come up on the platform so I can see you. Keep your hands up. I want to receive Jesus Christ. I want to turn my back on sin. I want to be forgiven. I want to lay my head on my pillow tonight, maybe for the first time, and have total peace with God. That's awesome. Very quickly, those of you that are more bold, you come first. It'll help those that are more shy. But every person that lifted a hand and meant business with God, come and stand across that white line. Come right now. Everybody, go ahead and sing as they come. Come, this is your day. This day is about you getting right with God. The curse of sin is broken. Yes, yes. Tell the devil goodbye. This is awesome. What a day. What a great day. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, sing it. Who else before we pray? This is your day. This is your day to tell the devil out. They're going to sing it one more time. If the Lord's wrestling with your heart, come today. Anybody else before we pray? I'm not going to hell. I'm not dying in an attic. The devil's not going to destroy my family. I tell you, this is a bad day for the devil. Lift both hands all across the front line and say this prayer nice and loud. It's an announcement to the devil that you and him are through. And it's an announcement to God, I'm coming over to the winning side. Say this nice and loud. Heavenly Father, I've come forward today to give you my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me in your blood. I believe in my heart. You raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord and my Savior. Right now, I receive forgiveness. By the blood of Jesus, I am saved. I am forgiven. I am clean. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Sin's power is broken. Welcome to the family of God. I want you to lift both hands again, and this time I'm going to pray for you. This is a blessing. I had a lady sit next to me on a plane a few years ago, and she sneezed 3 times. And then after about 5 seconds, she looked over at me and said, "Aren't you even going to say God bless you?" And I said, you have to do more than sneeze to get a blessing out of me. I don't bless people when they sneeze. But I bless people in accordance with the work of the Lord. I'm going to bless you right now. And my blessings work because they're tied to the Bible. Everything the devil used. Some people it's cocaine. Some people it's heroin. Some people it's fentanyl. Some people, Sandra wasn't on drugs. She was bound by a spirit of suicide. Whatever the thing is that the devil's used to try to destroy your life, sickness and disease, memories from the past that haunt you, when I pray this prayer, God's going to set you free now. You believe that with me? In the name of Jesus Christ, I lose the power of that resurrection that took place 2,000 years ago. For your word declares, Lord, when he died, we are now dead to sin. And when he was raised, we were raised together with him. I lose that resurrection life into every one of these men and women, boys and girls, teenagers. I lose that power into their belly. That the things that used to have victory over them, they will now live in victory over those things. In Jesus' name, no more backward steps. No more trouble. No more misfortune. From glory to glory. From victory to victory. And strength to strength. Every spirit that entices people to fentanyl and heroin and methamphetamine, I curse those drugs and I curse their work in your life. I curse their entrance into this city. I command you to be set free now. In Jesus' name, and be healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, never to be the same again. In Jesus' name. Now, I want you to do something that's going to serve you well the rest of your life. Take 30 seconds with me, everybody in this room and those at the altar. Lift both hands, and let's take 30 seconds and just tell Jesus, thank you. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for lifting me. Thank you for pulling me out of the pit. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. Thank you for writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you that I'll never be the same.
that I'm not going back to the past. I'm going forward into the glorious future that you've called me to. In Jesus' name. Now, every time the enemy tries to make you feel stressed, instead of saying, Lord, please help me, lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus, that you've helped me. Thank you that you've given me the victory. Thank you that I'm not going down, I'm going up. The greater one lives on the inside of me. In Jesus' name, everybody said a loud, victorious amen. Now, we have some people that are going to give you gifts from me to help you live the Christian life. And I want to welcome you to the family of God. You're as saved as I am. Your sins are all forgiven. You're not on a trial period with God. Like God expects you to take him at his word, he takes you at your word. So say, I'm forgiven. Say, I'm saved. I'm born again. It's very important that you get plugged into a church. I would love to be your pastor until we go to heaven. I'll take care of you. This church is for you. This isn't for a studio audience for a TV show. The Lord gave me a command in 2020, December 31st. Build me a strong church in this city. God loves the people of Pittsburgh. God loves the United States of America. God created nations. And so don't just make this a blip on the radar and then back to your old life. Sundays at 10, we meet here. Sunday, every Sunday, 10 a.m., free to attend. Nobody checks if you give. This is to bless you. If you already have a church, send that church an email and let them know you're not going to come there anymore because you found a pastor that you really fell in love with, and now we're going to be friends. I want you to be a part of Revival Today Church. Welcome to the family of God. My friends are over here. Before you go to your seat, just head there. I'm going to give you a Bible and some other materials to help you live the Christian life, and then straight back to your seat. Head this way if you would quickly. Don't go right back to your seat. Head this way. Go ahead and help me out. Head that way. Then we're going to do the giveaways. We won't give anything away without you. Give your new brothers and sisters a big hand clap as they head this way. That's good. Good job moving the line. Love you. So proud of you. God bless you. Go ahead and sing it one time. God bless you, everybody. Time, every hand lifted. This is awesome. Every hand lifted in the congregation. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Whatever attack you're under right now, as a blessing for being in God's house, that attack fails in Jesus' name. Angels will help you this month. God will be your help this month. Every heavy load is lifted off your back, and every yoke of bondage is destroyed because of the anointing. Congratulations in advance on the best 30 days that you've ever had in business, in the ministry, personally, and in your family. April will be a wonder month for you. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, shout amen like thunder. Come on, shout amen like thunder. Now, we're going to go to the close out of the service. If you're watching on DirecTV, this will be the last Sunday that you see me because they wanted me to pay more money, and I told them I'm not. So you can watch me on YouTube. Jonathan Shuttlesworth is my YouTube channel, and we have an app called Revival Today.
and it's free to download. So watch me. You like me. You've been sitting there for 2 hours. Let's be friends. And to the TV network, come on. Thanks for the memories. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. If you're interested in supporting our mission to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, please visit revivaltoday.com and click on Give Now to become one of our monthly partners. Thank you in advance. We hope to see you soon.